Veronica Carter is running for the Leland Town Council. It's the first time she's running for office since she was her high school class president. Veronica, what prompted you to get into this race?
A number of things. One, I've been a public service since I graduated from college. I spent 20 years in the military. After that, I worked for 2 years for the United Nations Department of Peacekeeping Operations. After that, I was a federal employee at Sunny Point. I believe in public service. I have a master's in public administration. But that wasn't what prompted me at this point to run for Leland Town Council. I have to say Hurricane Florence did. Myself and two other gentlemen, both happened to be ministers, one Baptist, one Methodist, started the Brunswick County VOAD, Voluntary Organizations Active in Disasters, with a long-term recovery group. And so since Florence, I've been out in the neighborhoods talking to people, trying to get them signed up to get help to fix their houses. And I began to realize that as we grow in Leland and in our region, there are so many people that are sitting right on the edge that they may get left behind. And we aren't talking about really depressed or poor people or not working people. We're talking people, seniors who have spent their entire life in Leland, who own a home but didn't have insurance. We're talking our first responders, our teachers. And as we grow in our community, I want to see us grow together. I want to see us grow smartly, and I want to see us be better than we are now. So I think we can do all of that. I don't think we have to sacrifice development and growth. I also don't think we have to sacrifice our environment. I'm very much an environmentalist, and I just felt the time was right.
Mentioning Hurricane Florence, is it your thought then that the town of Leland didn't do all they could do for some of their residents in the aftermath?
Not at all. I actually was very impressed and pleased with our response. But I think that we can build and do things better. I want to see us be more resilient. And that seems to be the buzzword these days. It's been around for a while. I'd like to see us have ordinances or at least tell people about it when they're in the permit office on methods and ways that they can build to a better standard and not all that much more expensively. I'd like to see us require developers to do things that are more going to be more resilient and make us less vulnerable during the next storm. There's going to be more storms. And so, no, I think the town and especially our first responders, and God bless the folks who were here from the out-of-state, the search and rescue folks and the water rescue folks that came in and helped folks, they did a very, very admirable job. I am very impressed with our police department and Chief Mike James and his crew. But I do think we can always learn from our anything, I won't even say our mistakes. We can learn from what we did right and make it better.
Development, whether it's residential or commercial, is moving at quite a clip in Leland and in Brunswick County as a whole, and this part of North Carolina. But in terms of Leland and the growth, is the infrastructure in place to support that growth?
I think we have to be a little more reflective when we start doing development, and not just do development for development's sake. I want us to grow, but I want us to grow smartly. And there are things that we can do to both improve our infrastructure as well as improve our town, both traditional Leland as well as the new areas that keep popping up through annexation. We do need more infrastructure. We need to do a better job at repairing our infrastructure, but we've been really, unfortunately, had some really tough winters and some really bad summers with hurricanes, and that takes its toll on the roads and everything else. Fortunately, our town is in a very good position financially, so I think that we can certainly take care of some of those items. But when we do, I want to see us do it smartly. I want us to look at other municipalities and other areas that have rebuilt from hurricanes, that have rebuilt from other disasters, and look at the lessons that they've learned and incorporate some of that into our land use plan, into our development plan, and make sure that we're getting the right types of neighborhoods and planned units as well as the right type of infrastructure to support that.
Recently, the Department of Transportation essentially ended the Cape Fear Crossing project. There were some very well-attended public meetings on this third bridge idea. There was a lot of pushback, particularly from the folks that live in neighborhoods that might have been in the path of the project. What happens next on something like that, or is it something that isn't necessarily needed, this third bridge?
You know what? I applaud the North Carolina Department of Transportation's decision to halt that planning of the Cape Fear Crossing at this time, because frankly, that project could not have moved forward in its present state. They were looking at maps that, quite frankly, I could find a more up-to-date map on Google Earth. You should not be presenting a billion-dollar project with 10-year-old maps. You've got to include the public. And that's why those meetings were so well attended, because so much had happened behind the scenes and it had taken so long for it to happen that stuff had changed. And they hadn't taken that into account. They hadn't really, to me, looked at the proper study area. As things changed, as the study area that they had originally 10 years ago been given grew and was still continuing to develop out, they should have grown their study area. They should have moved further south and perhaps offered us some alternatives that did not impact on communities. That's why people were pushing back on the Brunswick County side. It had nothing to do with the fact that we feel we don't need a third crossing or that it's not needed. We don't think that you should destroy neighborhoods that are in existence to get that third crossing, particularly when there's still undeveloped land just a few miles down the road. But, you know, we got a really bureaucratic answer. Well, it wasn't in our study area. Those are the kind of things that, as a former civil servant, drive me crazy, because why not? Go back to whoever gave you your study area and ask permission and give them a logical reason why you need to expand your study area and let them come back and tell you, no, we're not going to do this. That's not the way we've always done it. Well, it's time to do things differently.
If, assuming, let's say that you win a seat on the town council, what's at the top of your agenda?
You know, people have asked me, I've had all kinds of questions thrown at me, like, what if we got $1 million? What would you do with it? The way that town council, town manager, city government works is that I can't do anything unless two other people agree with me. So one of the things I want to do is make sure that we have a good working relationship, myself, the town council, and the staff. I've talked to a lot of the staff, sometimes because I'm complaining as a resident or asking questions as a resident, but we have a really great staff in the town of Leland. You know, part of the, I guess, advantage of going out in the VOAD is that I've met other folks in other municipalities, mm-hmm. and I'm always impressed with the staff that the town manager, Dave Hollis, has assembled. I want us to, one, rebuild properly. We have a lot of people still have tarps under houses. We have a lot of people who aren't back home yet. We've got to figure out how to get them home. We don't want to lose those people. Those are good, hardworking residents of Leland. More importantly, they're our neighbors and our friends. And so we've got to figure out a way to get some housing that they can afford. I call it workforce housing. That is the proper term for it. We're not talking public housing. We're not talking necessarily vouchers. We're talking about getting our first responders, our teachers, and our seniors who've been displaced and can't afford to rent an apartment for over $1,000, which unfortunately a lot of our apartments in Leland are going for now, but just they want to stay in the area. And they should stay in the area because they bring something to the area. So my first job when I get on town council is to listen to both the more senior folks that are there, to listen more importantly to my neighbors who put me there, to listen to the staff and see what ideas they bring, and then to take my experience, I want to say my common sense, which I hope is does play and is evident to people, take my education and take my personality and be able to use that to make things better and for everyone in the town of Leland.
Let's talk about H2Go and that whole battle. Do you think they have found a workable solution?
I think they have, and I'm glad to see it. Unfortunately, that whole H2Go, I'll call it a debacle for the last few years, has caused a lot of divisions amongst neighbors, literally amongst neighbors within the town of Leland, across in the town of Belleville, Nevassa, and other communities. I'm glad to see that we're now taking a regional approach. I think that was the right approach from the beginning. I'm glad to see that the law has been enforced, because I don't want to see any public utility or body, and H2Go is a governmental body, do anything that is outside of the law. And so I'm glad to see that we've established that this is the law and it needs to be upheld and this is the way we're going to work. As an Army officer, retired Army officer, I believe that you should never do anything that's immoral, unethical, or illegal. And unfortunately, I thought that the transfer of the site to Belleville was immoral and unethical, but now a judge, not Veronica, but a judge has said it's also illegal. We're putting that behind us, okay? We're fixing all that, and we're getting things in place the way they should be, and now everyone's talking and walking and moving in the right direction. The most important thing is that we have safe water to drink, that we have safe, affordable water to drink. The second most important thing, of course, is our our sewer, to make sure that we aren't having any type of environmental impacts and that we are able to treat sewage properly. And I think we're now going to be focused on that as H2Go, as opposed to focusing on who owns what and who's got what and who didn't do what at what hour of the night and all that other stuff. So I'm so glad to find that we finally have some sort of agreement that we're putting this behind us and working together and moving forward.
Drawing new business industry to a community is a challenge that sometimes we use incentives and other ways to draw something new. How is Leland doing in terms of attracting more high-tech companies or new industries to the city?
I think that's something that we can improve upon. I know that we have an economic development board that works with our economic and development director, Gary Vitmar. But I think one of the key components of that is workforce housing, that if you're going to bring high-tech companies here, they're going to bring their employees, and their employees expect to have a nice, affordable place to live and not have to spend more than 30% of their take-home pay on rent or mortgage. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do better at offering incentives to build those workforce housing, that those affordable rentals, those affordable houses. You know, I'm on the board of directors for Brunswick County Habitat. I've been on the board for Cape Fear Habitat a while back. So I'm a big proponent of affordable housing. I think part of the American dream is to own your own house. And if you can give someone a hand up and not a hand out and help them get over that hump to get that first house, then they will build equity. They will build a great financial stable foundation for their house and for the neighborhood that they live in. There's pride in ownership when you have that first house and know that you can hopefully build up and maybe get a second, bigger, better house, or at least leave it to your family. We've got to be able to do that, or you're not going to get these high-tech guys. They're not going to bring their companies here because their employees aren't going to want to come. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be able to recruit good employees, even from our area, if you can't find reasonable housing. That's the first step. And then we can work on schools. Now, unfortunately, I'm not running for that office, but the first step is to make sure that our town is something that people want to live in. I know it can be. I know it is. So many of us, I'm one of those people who came here from someplace else. It had charm. It's got to maintain that charm as it grows. The people who are born here and stayed here stayed for a reason. It was because of that charm. And so when we grow, we've got to be effective, we've got to be efficient, and we've got to, again, not leave anyone behind. Make sure that everyone's growing with the town and we're all moving in the same direction as neighbors.
Does Leland have a downtown or a town center?
You know, I would say no, but I think we're trying to get there. They're doing some work, of course, on Village Road to expand that and make it more like a boulevard with sidewalks. I think that's something that we have to get more of in our town in general. Right now, I don't think it's really accessible to pedestrians. You might want to walk, but sometimes you put your life at your own peril mm-hmm. when you do. So we need a few more pedestrian and biker-friendly paths. That's something I've talked about when I talk about infrastructure, is that I'd like to see more bike paths. I'd like to see more mass transit. A couple of weeks ago, I realized I'd never been on the Wave, the Brunswick County Connector. I've been on a Wave in Wilmington, but not the one that goes all the way around. It was a great ride, and I had such a great chat with the driver, who apparently the Wave has not bothered to talk to. They may talk to all of us in little surveys, but they don't actually talk to their drivers, which, you know, I learned in the Army a long time ago. If you want to know what's going on, you go down and talk to the troops. He had a lot of great ideas about, you know, I asked him if the bus stops were in the right place. Why wasn't there a bus stop by the apartments, you know, the ones that are over by Exxon? Mm-hmm. You know, those are things that I think Wave officials, when they talk about how they might be losing money, they need to have a little chat with their staff and just open it up where they feel that they can say whatever they need to say without fear of anything happening to their livelihood. But they have some really great ideas, and it was a great ride. I was telling some folks in Brunswick Forest about it because there's a stop in Brunswick Forest. You know, hey, Wave officials, if you're listening, if you were to extend your hours on Friday night to, let's say, 9 or 10 o'clock, you'd probably have a lot more riders who might get on at Waterford stop and at the Brunswick Forest stop and go downtown, have dinner, have a drink, get back on the bus, and then come back home, all for $2. It's a great ride. But we've got to do some better things with marketing. But getting back to your original question, we need to make things more pedestrian friendly. And I think the town has that plan in their master plan, and they're working towards it, but it takes time and it takes money.
Veronica Carter is running for the Leland Town Council. Veronica, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I just want to make a positive difference and make Leland better than I found it.